morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff. We are coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join the show. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Coming up at 11:33, we are going to be talking to the executive director of HAWS, the Humane Animal Welfare Society here in Waukesha. Executive Director Maggie Tate-Techtman is going to join us today as Take Your Dog to Work Day. Although none of us brought a dog to work.
I wanted to. She barks.
She's too barky.
Yeah, she barks at everything going on outside.
It's her job.
I know. Oh, I know.
It's her job. Calvin, your dog?
Yeah, I was going to bring Dolly, but I was concerned that she was going to bark a lot, so I left her home.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Fancy Brian Kelly might bring Daisy.
That'd be amazing.
He mentioned that yesterday, so let's hope that Daisy makes an appearance today for Take Your Dog to Work Day. That is coming up at 11:33 and all kinds of other things going on at HAWS. And if you're thinking about adopting over the summer, which is kind of a good time if you're going to be home and you got a little more time to do the training.
Yeah.
If that's too much for you, you can always foster. They are always looking for people to foster.
Yeah.
It's a really critically important part of the whole adoption process.
Absolutely. I know people who foster dogs. I know a couple who has 3 of their own cats and 5 foster cats.
And what good people.
What good people. Lots of hair. I don't know if I could handle that. Allergies notwithstanding, that's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah. It is a lot. All right. That's coming up at 11:33. Just a reminder, if you want to catch the Brewers game tonight, Brewers out on the West Coast taking on the Padres at 8:05. And you can listen to the game live on WRJN in Racine. That's 99.9 FM. And 1400 AM, also in Kenosha at 98.1 FM. Or catch the game tonight, 8:05, Brewers Padres, 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. I would really love to hear from moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas about this next topic. And it came out, I think it was last week, Greg, and we just didn't get around to it at that point. But we really, I'm curious what your thoughts are. The U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy on Monday called on Congress to require a tobacco-style warning for visitors to social media platforms.
Yeah.
And he put an op-ed in the New York Times. He said the mental health crisis among our young people is an urgent problem and social media is an important contributor. A Surgeon General's warning label that requires congressional action would remind parents and adolescents that social media has not been proven safe. So I'm not exactly sure how that would work. I mean, when you log on to Facebook, would there be some kind of warning? This may be bad for your mental health.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's like there's just a permanent label in the corner of your browser. I'm not against the notion of warning. Honestly, in my opinion, children smoke and that's not good. Adults smoke, that's not good. The warning label is there for everyone. The warning label on social media should be there for everyone, because I don't know about you, Jane, or Calvin, but there are times when I'm looking at, whether it's the Twitter or the Facebooks or the TikTok or Instagram Reels, and I realize I got to put this down, because right now, I don't know how I did it, but I fell into an algorithm of just opposite thinking of mine that is just makes me really mad, because there are people out there saying horrible things about people I care about, usually about the queer community. And I have to say, all right,
I have to get away from this.
Put this down, because I'm getting angry. And even worse, I am interacting with these individuals and that doesn't help anything. So I'm all for that. I just want to see how do you go about doing it?
Yeah. What is going to be the process for this? And if you are a parent, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, you're around youngsters and you see them interacting with social media. Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think this is necessary? I mean, I think there's been a lot of discussion already about some of the not good ramifications of young kids being on social media all the time. We see increasing rates of depression. We see increasing rates of suicidal thoughts. It goes with you everywhere.
Yeah.
When you're a kid.
And you can't get away from it.
Right. And it's forever.
It is the way younger people communicate. Once again, this is the way we all communicate, but it is, tell someone under the age of 16 about the days before social media. It was like when I told my niece and nephew that when I was very young, we didn't have internet. And they were like, how?
How did you live?
How did you not talk via whatever social media app? It's like, well, I don't know. We called each other. We sent letters. I'm not trying to sound old or like my generation knows more. But it's just different. And we have to take care of them. And the other side of this, you know, the big conversation too is, you know, and I'm going to be a little open right now, is that when I growing up as a young kid, grade school, specifically middle school, I was bullied really bad. Like it was not good. It didn't make me a stronger man. It ruined me as my childhood.
Yes.
And I would sooner go back to those days of the 80s of that type of bullying where, you know, I'm getting called names or getting beaten up or shoved into a locker than what children have to go through now. And there are a lot of older people who say like bullying builds character.
That's bull.
One thing that's, you're right.
That's
bull. Absolute bull. And also they do not understand what it's like for someone to message you on a fake account and start talking to you and either trying to make you seem like, oh, you're like, we really like you. And, or even worse, just an anonymous account saying, hey, why don't you go harm yourself? No one cares about you at all.
Right.
It's gotten to that level where we do need to protect children. And I think this is a good step. Once again, I don't know how they're going to do it, but it can't just be the stopgap. It can't just be the Band-Aid. What else are we going to do to talk to kids who are on social media and say, hey, does this, you know, what, how does this make you feel? Do you ever put down your phone and be like, oh, this sucks. This doesn't feel good.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Calvin, what do you think about this? Or is this government overreach? Is this something that parents should already be talking to their kids about?
I think I agree with the spirit and the notion behind it, but I'm kind of with Greg. Like, how does it happen? I don't know. Like, there's kids who smoke cigarettes, even though it's illegal for them to smoke cigarettes.
Right.
And it will be a lot easier to circumvent the things that will prevent them from being on social media than it is to circumvent the purchase of cigarettes. So I'm not sure how you tackle it. I think it's got to be, the parents have to be educated, I think, is really where it has to start.
Well, and I would think that a fair amount of parents are already pretty involved mm-hmm. with how long their kids are involved in screen time, I would hope.
Yeah.
And at least, I don't know, if I was young now and on social media, and I wouldn't have wanted it then, but as an adult now, I would want my mother to monitor what I'm saying just to keep me out of trouble, because I probably would have gotten in a fair amount of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it comes down to is, you know, I want the valuable input from our listeners who are aunts, uncles, moms, dads, grandpa, grandpas, those teachers, those types of things. But also, I think the very important aspect to this is to educate those individuals on what kids are going through, because a lot of times, you know, along with the, you know, bullying builds character notion, which is absolute crap, it's also about like when a kid can sometimes engage with somebody who's older, that older person will only use their perspective and their life as the guiding
right.
force of advice.
Right.
When that is not what exists today.
It's not applicable anymore.
So the warning label is a good start, but this goes so much deeper. We got some text from the text line. And remember, you can always text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine says, how about a warning label on the lock screen of the phone itself and then fixed at the top of all web pages? Now, that seems like a lot. You have to get a lot of people on board.
You're going to have to get a lot of buy-in for that.
But, I mean, also the question it can be raised is, at what point is the responsibility stop at the business owner's foot and doorstop and their tile on their business, and it really does become about the parent, the family, the village, taking care of the kids,
talking to your kids.
I mean, do you know how many people are on Facebook? I don't. I'm sure it's over billions. Facebook, I don't know, has the ability to have that kind. Besides, of course, it'd be like, oh, put a label on there. It's easy. But in 2016 and 2020, we held them so accountable to a certain extent, when also it was saying, like, you know, where were the parents? Where are the parents? Where are we helping to educate and protect these kids?
Andrew from Verona, listening here on WAUK, says, I agree with Greg. We should all be reminded that these apps are bad for our mental health. I mean, I'll ignore the warning pop-up most of the time, but maybe it's the nudge I need to put the phone down. And he also says, back in my day, we sent letters via the Pony Express. It made sexting very difficult.
Oh, wow. I can't believe you sent that. I can't believe Jane read that.
I want you right now. I'll see you in a month.
It's like a Ken Burns documentary. Greg, 1874.
Can we hook up?
I don't know. I mean, this is a huge conversation. I mean,
it is. And again, it's about communication, as with so many things. Andrew from Maine says, that's funny, Jane. Involvement varies per household, but to assume parents are monitoring social media use, considering some of the same parents that park their kid in front of a television and homework that has to be completed on computers, it is mom and dad's responsibility to keep an eye on this. It is.
And there are plenty of apps and guidances on devices that will allow you to, you know, lock screen time, will allow you to not be on certain. Now, of course, kids can get around that.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't just set it and forget it. Sorry to use a Ron Popeil line, but there has to be conversations, and, you know, they're going to be tough, and you're going to, and granted, I know everyone listening, I don't have children, and it's easy for me to say this, but I do in some ways understand the difficulties of having those, because it's not just about the hard conversations, but, you know, one more thing in your daily life you have to deal with.
Yep.
But this is ultimately about the health and wealth of our children.
You can always join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide, bringing the bumper music. You can always join us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about a suggestion by the Surgeon General that there be warning labels put on social media because it's bad for us.
Yeah.
And it's not just bad for kids, but it's bad for all of us to be so engrossed in it all the time with our heads down on the screen.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I've been trying to delete some apps. I've been trying to limit my time.
It's hard.
It's hard. Like, I'm watching TV yesterday, taking a nice afternoon off, just relaxing. And then I pick up my phone and go to Instagram Reels. And then I realize I'm watching Reels as my television is playing. And I'm holding my phone in front of my television. And then I realize I have to put this down, and I'll put my phone in the bedroom.
Oh, wow.
Just so it's away from
me. So it's far away.
My watch can notify me. I'm not important enough where the world needs to get a hold of me right this moment. So sometimes you just got to just put it in a drawer upstairs and just, even watching TV, take a break from your phone. Watch TV. Well, can't believe that's a thing now.
When my husband and I go on vacation, and this has been happening for at least 15 years, we're always amazed when we're sitting at a beachside restaurant somewhere in Greece, and at the table next to us is mom and dad and the two kids, and everyone's got their head down looking at their phones.
I know.
It's like, look at that view.
You've got
with the splashing and the waving and the
with the splashing
and the splashing and waving and water. It's right there.
I even to a I mean if I was in Greece now, I am I don't want to say I'm a cheapskate, but with my phone service that I have, I need to be on Wi-Fi to really use my phone.
Oh, okay.
Which I use to save myself a lot of money on my phone bill.
Right.
Email me for more information. But that means when I'm out in the world on vacation, I'm rarely looking at my phone. When I'm in a restaurant on vacation with Bridget, we're talking.
Yeah.
We might pick up our phone to like, oh, let's go over Uber or where's this place at? But it's really freeing. Also, I mean, this is just another thing too, but it keeps me from texting while I'm driving. But when I go to restaurants and I just see people on their phones, and not for a moment, like I get it. You want to be on your phone for a second.
Or you have to respond to something. Okay, that's fine.
But when they have been sitting there for as long as you have and they have been staring at their phone for an hour, it's a throwback to like going to a restaurant and seeing the husband reading the paper and the wife just eating and they're not talking. They're not.
There's no interaction.
Connection. I mean, this is sort of off the topic, but it does have ramifications. These devices in our pockets have ramifications. They become so a part of our DNA that, I mean, when I tell people right now, I'm like, go upstairs, put it in your bedroom and come downstairs and do something else. A lot of people are going to say, I can't do that.
What would happen to me?
Let me ask you, are you a doctor on call? Are you the president? Are those questions both no? Then you can do it.
Calvin, when you get together with a group of friends, do you have any rules about phones?
Back when I was in college, when we'd get together and play cards and stuff, we definitely made it a point, everyone get off their phones. Since then, now a lot of times when we get together, we're like watching an MMA fight or a game. So I think it's a little easier to be engaged with a live event like that.
Sure.
So.
But I've seen teachers saying that at lunchtime, the lunchroom is completely quiet because they're texting the kid who's sitting next to them.
That's just how they interact now. I mean, try calling someone who's 15 if you have to. Good luck.
15? I was going to say 30.
Well, sort of a tangent, and I apologize, but I have a question for our resident young person, Cal B. What are you like when you watch an MMA fight? Because are you just the watch? Are you like how you are right now? Very stoic, quiet, a man of few words? Or is the popcorn getting like thrown at the TV going, what are you even doing with my life?
It depends on the fighter. Sometimes I don't really care that much, and other times I can get a little spicy.
Calvin can get spicy.
Calvin gets so spicy.
We're trying to encourage Calvin to have his own podcast called Calvin Gets Spicy.
And I'm just going to ask him a series of like incendiary questions that just invokes a reaction from sweet Calby.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to join the conversation, Surgeon General suggesting that social media put warning labels on it because it's bad for us. Andrew from Maine on a live stream. Did the Surgeon General have to get buy-in from Philip Morris and Juul to put warnings on tobacco packaging? If the feds feel social media requires the same kind of warning, they could use the same mechanics to make sure it gets posted or businesses lose their license or pay a fine.
I mean,
some are going to say this is government overreach and stay out of it.
And back in those days, like the tobacco companies came kicking and screaming.
Oh yeah, they were real happy about that.
And nowadays, with the way that Congress and people protect business, like it is the almighty force. There's no way I don't think there's a single version of Congress in which they are going to invoke penalties on these businesses for not coming along.
Well, and especially when you consider they're probably big political donors too.
Yeah. Oh.
The owners of these social media companies.
I just, I don't know. I think, you know, at first I was like, oh, this is a good idea. But now the more we talk about it, I'm like, it's a deeper conversation.
Well, and we talked to Brian Kelly about this off the air because he's got a daughter who's 12. She's in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what she does? She's learning how to crochet.
Yeah.
So there is value to these apps and things like that. But it depends upon with anything what you're doing with it.
Yeah, and who you are as a child. Like if just scrolling past influencers is all your age, then that's what you're gonna. And then you think, I want to be famous for what? Nothing. Or you're gonna say, I want to learn how to make a blanket. And there's a lot of kids who do that. A lot of adults who do that too. And I think it's great. I love watching those videos on TikTok and Instagram. Like, my gosh, they're so creative and they're just doing it and having business. It's awesome.
It's like YouTube University. You can learn anything.
I love YouTube University.
We're going to talk about that again next week.
Yeah.
What you have learned on YouTube University. Changing oil. Heck. All kinds of things.
Yes.
Greg can do that for you, by the way.
You got to learn how to change your oil, folks. It's save you so much money.
Robert from McFarland listening in Madison, WMDX. The internet is still the wild, wild west. We need to rein that in, and then we can rein in the social medias.
I mean, that's almost a scary thought, the idea that, you know, I am 46. I've been on the internet for almost 30 years.
Wow.
Which is not, I mean, where will it be in another 30 years?
Right.
30 years after that and 30 more years after that, will it just be, like everyone says, a chip implanted in your brain where you can touch your temple and call who you need?
Let's not do that.
Oh, yeah.
Can we not have brain implants? Especially from Elon? No, I'm not going that way. A final word on this. Andrew says, I imagine Calvin gets dressed up in a jersey of his favorite MMA fighter, screaming at the TV and jumping off the top of the couch.
There's definitely couch jumping involved. I don't usually dress up, though.
Yeah.
Good to know.
There's definitely couch jumping involved.
As one does.
Yes.
As one does.
Yes.
All right. News is coming up next. And then when we come back, we're talking to the executive director of Haws here in Waukesha. It's Take Your Dog to Work Day. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Take Your Dog to Work Day, and we looked at this and said, this is a perfect excuse to talk to Haws and talk about animals. So welcome to Maggie Tate Techtman, the executive director of Haws Humane Animal Welfare Society in Waukesha. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for having me today.
Absolutely. Haws is a wonderful, wonderful facility. You've gone through a lot of different changes over the years. I remember doing some volunteering out there 35 years ago, and the facility is changed and you've expanded. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. So congratulations for that. Do you know anything about Take My Dog to Work Day?
So every day is Take My Dog to Work Day for us. So we don't really, we appreciate there's a day for it. It's every day for us.
You.
So yeah, we know a fair amount about it.
Is now a really busy time for people adopting animals because school is out. If you want to get a pet, you would have more time at home and more time maybe for training and things like that. Is this a busy time for you?
So we have found that there is not a lot of seasonality ever. We can't ever point to a time of year and say we know this is going to be busier for adoptions because of X or Y. What we are seeing right now is that animals are actually waiting longer than I would say any time in the past 10 years for their forever home.
Really?
So that is actually a national trend that it's an unfortunate trend, but actually is a national trend that we are seeing all of our partner organizations. I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but you know, that is a very commonality that we are seeing, is that pets are just waiting longer in the shelter than they have before to go home. So National Take Your Dog to Work Day is a great time to come in and find your new best friend.
Well, and I think it's important for folks to keep in mind too, that the faster you don't want them in the shelter, not because it's inconvenient for you, but because you're keeping space from another animal potentially.
Sure.
And also when you have this many animals together in an enclosed area, there's a greater risk of infection and things like that.
Absolutely. And there's a greater risk of lack of socialization. And certainly we have amazing volunteers and amazing staff that are in here all of the time working with our animals and getting them out. We have this gorgeous brand new play yard that we are doing a lot of dog play dates in, which is fantastic and super fun. If anyone is looking to volunteer, it's a great opportunity. But yes, it's we want pets with their people, just like we want people with their pets. It's really, we don't want them here. We are happy to have them here and care for them while they are here, but we are more than happy to see them go.
I follow a lot of different dog accounts on Twitter, and I mean, some of these poor puppies and kittens too, but or cats, but I think especially for dogs and older dogs, sometimes they're at shelters for a year, which is heartbreaking.
Yes. Yep. It's not uncommon for us to have a dog, you know, one or two that are staying that long. Right now, I think our dog with the highest length of stay, I think is creeping up to probably about a year. In the last year, though, we've really started to implement a lot more in our foster care programs. We've implemented outings and overnights. We've implemented some foster to adopt programs. So people can come and they can take a dog home for just a night, for a weekend. They can come and take them and go out on an outing with them. Or also, you know, do that foster to adopt program where, you know, you want to make sure it's a good fit and then you get them out of the shelter and you're like, obviously this is a great fit. But then also there's an opportunity if it is not the right fit, or, you know, the animals in the home aren't getting along or whatever it might be. Really our goal is to get them out of the shelter, even if it is for, you know, a short-term stay, to get a little bit of respite, from, you know, from the shelter for the weekend. And that has been really impactful and really successful, both in helping dogs as they're staying with us longer, but also getting dogs out into adoptions and into homes.
I can't think of a better thing to volunteer for it than go and take the dogs out, you know, interact with the kittens, socialize with the animals. I'm looking at your website right now and it's hawspets.org. We will put this up in our show notes after the show is over, Maggie, but okay, I'll take Willie and Billy and Luca and Tank and Thor and Kippy, who has ears so big he could fly.
Welcome to Jane's last show ever.
I'll be busy with my dogs. And then there's Leona and Ebony and Gamora, and they're adorable.
Riri.
Oh. Riri is pretty awesome. All of those dogs that you just listed are really awesome.
And then you've got kittens, Rusty and Kaylee and Jackie and Susan. And as you said, Maggie, you can foster if you're not ready to commit, because this is a lifelong commitment. Dogs can live 15, 17 years. Cats can certainly live to be 17 or 18 years old. So this is a long commitment. And I think I respect that. So if you want to do a little trial run, that's a really good way to go.
Yeah. And also recognizing that, you know, from an economic standpoint, access to vet care and even just affording vet care and affording food and supplies for pets has changed a lot for many, many people. And, you know, fostering is something that we support. The shelter supports through food and all of the medical care happens here and things of that nature. All of the supplies come through us. So if someone is interested in having an animal but is in a position where it doesn't feel like the right time, this is a great way to also make an impact, and it's really a win-win.
Well, and it is not inexpensive, in all honesty. Absolutely. It's not inexpensive to have a pet.
No.
What do you estimate? I mean, it's hard to say, but if nothing is outside of the ordinary, Maggie, I would say when Barkley was still alive, that was $1,200 a year.
Oh, I'm sure, right? Easily. Yes.
Just when you consider food, and then you have to get tick collars and tick treatments and just the regular checkups and stuff like that. And so you do have to have a little bank in order to take care of your pet.
Yes. And yes, indeed. We're learning with Maybelle. I mean, and aside, there's definitely some spoiling that happens with Maybelle because she's our first dog and we love her so much. But yeah, it's just like, it's now just a part of your grocery list, you know, pee pads and treats and, you know, new toys when the old toys have been demolished after 2 hours.
She just needs to get the squeaker, Greg. She just has to remove that.
The squeaker is key.
It is absolutely the key to everything.
At this point, if she could get an MD, she'd be a doctor in squeaker extraction. She is that good.
We call it brain surgery in my house.
How many pets do you have, Maggie?
So I have one furry pet. We have a very large hound dog that is probably loud enough and gangly enough and goofy enough for multiple. And then I have one human child at home as well. So those two are kind of thick as thieves together and kind of make it seem like we're a one dog, one kid household, but it's a very loud household. So
it sounds like fun. It actually sounds like fun. If you're just joining us, Maggie Tate Techtman is our guest. She's the executive director of Haws Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. And today is Bring Your Dog to Work Day, and we just thought it was a good excuse to talk to you and talk all things pets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line with a story about being a foster dog dad. Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm not a foster dog dad, but my dog has had to be fostered a few times with various treatments I've had. The first time I was going into a rehab facility, and the head nurse of the rehab facility had asked me what I could do to make my stay more comfortable at the place. So I was looking for a foster for my dog. She polled her nurses, and one of her nurses said she'd take the dog. But the head nurse actually drove up to Prairie du Sac from Madison, wow, picked up my dog, and brought him back through and to meet the nurse that was going to foster him, brought him in to see me. And then she took him for several months, and various things that he had to be fostered a couple other times. People that are willing to foster dogs are just wonderful.
Absolutely.
They're just wonderful folks.
And Mark, that must have made, the anxiety when you know you have to be in for care and then being worried about your pet, which is your fur baby, and I completely understand that. So not having that anxiety hanging over you must have made a big difference for you.
Well, it certainly did. As a matter of fact, when I was having my first surgery back in November of 2019, the doctor from UW Hospital, Dr. O'Rourke, asked me if there's anything I was worried about. I said, I was looking for a foster for my dog. And she was actually going to be willing to take him if I couldn't find somebody else. Because it just whole relief off of my mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you very much for sharing that. And as always, for listening. Really appreciate it. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Maggie Tate Techtman is our guest from Haws. She is the executive director. What are some of the summertime programs that are going on, Maggie?
So summer camp is rocking and rolling here at Haws. We offer programming both at our main shelter facility as well as programming out at the Shalik Center for Animals, which is our facility located in Delafield. We have summer camp day programs for youth ages 7 to 14. We still have some openings, great opportunity to get kids some hands-on opportunities working with dogs, cats, small animals, and then also horses and goats at our Shalik Center for Animals. Really an opportunity to help kids have fun, but also have some hands-on time cultivating empathy, respect, responsibility, so we can create some responsible future pet owners as well. We've started offering some lure coursing opportunities out at our Shalik Center for Animals as well to get your dogs out and active. And great time to do some summer training. We have lots of awesome training classes as well for people to do with their animals.
Like agility? Do you do agility training and all that stuff?
We do, yes.
That is so much fun to watch.
Shalik Center for Animals. Oh my gosh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
I think really cultivating that bond and that relationship between the dog and then the person that is running the dog, the handler, is super cool to watch that dynamic. So,
what if, Maggie, and this is a what if, a hypothetical
per se,
what if your dog has more agility and energy than, say, the dog father who is in charge of said pet?
I understand this is hypothetical.
Yes.
So hypothetically speaking,
asking for a friend.
Yeah, right. For your friend. Mm-hmm. Haws, actually, that is something we can support as well. So we offer our day training program where our trainers actually would work with your friend's dog throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So you can, your friend could drop him off at the beginning of the day, pick him up at the end of the day.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then also, we do have a fully fenced in 5-acre private dog park out at the Shalik Center for Animals that the community can rent for $20 for 45 minutes at a time, and you can, your friend can allow their dog to run and explore in a fully fenced in private space for you.
That's spectacular.
That's amazing. Because I'm not going to name any names. I have a dog park right by my house, and it is not a dog park. It is a fenced in yard that's about, I don't know, 50 by 20.
To have that much space that you have, Maggie, that's really something.
I mean, it's been such a wonderful gift to share with the community, to offer our pets waiting for homes respite. It's been wonderful.
That's so cool.
Maggie Tate-Techtman is the executive director of Haws Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha. Can you stay with us for one more segment, Maggie?
Yeah.
Wonderful. If you want to call, text Tom, we see you on the line. Don't go away. We will be right back. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. It's Bring Your Dog to Work Day on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. Reminder about baseball tonight. Brewers out west taking on the Padres at 8:05, and you can catch the game tonight, 8:05. News from the center, WRCE and Richland Center, or 98Q Country WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. Today is Bring Your Dog to Work Day, and we thought, what better excuse to bring Maggie Tate-Techtman, the executive director of Haws, on the show just to talk about animals. And now we're getting all these pictures of dogs on our text line. I'm so excited. Tom from L.A. has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Tom. What did you want to say?
Good morning, guys. First off, definitely if you can, go to the shelter or go to some type of person that's looking for a dog. Because you know what? There's so many dogs out there that need love and cats. We just lost our Lambo and our Lombardi in this last year.
Oh, so sorry.
But I will say that, you know, Lambo was worth it. Every dollar, but it was about $37,000 this last year. That I paid to, give him one more good year of quality life, because he ended up having lymphoma.
Oh.
And I was just going to say, I think something that we should really all think about, because pets really do change your life, and they really do when you rescue them, that if we could all come together as pet owners, I'm not saying everybody, but pet owners, and we had some type of Medicare for all for dogs, and cats, and have something where we can all chip in a little bit.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can all take care of these, vet bills and things like that. I know that, you know, now the private equity firms are coming in and kind of taking over these vet clinics also. So just beware to get a good vet that's not going to, you know, kill you on the price. But
really appreciate that, Tom. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening. And good on you for being a good dog father. And keep those pictures coming in of your pets at 855-752-4842. Fancy Brian Kelly texted in, Daisy's on the way.
And Chris Casper, our very own, one of our great engineers, sent a picture of what looks to be the cutest dog ever taking a well-deserved nap.
We have a listener in Madison, Maggie, who says, I've interacted with Haws while at a convention, and they are great. Unfortunately, my apartment does not allow dogs, but I try to donate what I can. And that's really important. But that's really important, too, Maggie, because you are a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm. We are. And the majority of our revenue does come from the generous support of private donors and the general public who really, that collective that the last caller talked about, that collective of everyone coming together, is really how our organization runs and operates. So thank you to everyone.
Just keep looking at your website right now.
He's getting sucked into all the puppy pictures.
Oh, Maggie, I'm telling you.
We are open today for viewing until 5 o'clock. So there's plenty of time to come get all your friends, animals.
We just got our dog in November. It's too soon, but we went to a farmer's market and saw a rescue mission there. And they had a literal pile of puppies in a little encagement. Enclosure.
Yeah,
enclosure, thank you. And they were just all sleeping on each other, and they were so cute. And my wife looked at me and said, you know, Maybelle could have a sister or brother. I'm like, you just not yet. We will get another dog one day, but it's
wonderful.
A little too soon.
We'll be here for you when you're ready.
Heck yeah.
And as we said, it is a big responsibility. Yeah. There is certainly a big financial responsibility involved. I worked with a woman at my previous job who only adopted senior dogs that had medical problems. Mm. She has the most generous heart on the face of the planet. And she said, I don't care if I have them for 3 months or 8 months or a year and a half. My goal is to give them the most loving experience for the last moments they have on earth. And I just think that is so lovely and heartwarming and generous.
Yeah, I think all dogs are the best dogs, but there really is something about those senior dogs that are facing some medical issues. Those are really the best dogs.
Absolutely.
Those are the best of the best.
Absolutely. How can people get involved, Maggie, if they would either... Do you have a wish list, by the way? Because I know some shelters will do that.
Yes, absolutely. So our wish list is on our website, and we are more than happy to accept donations off of the wish list. In fact, I just saw a young girl in our lobby who I'm pretty sure brought something in off of our wish list. So oftentimes we see kids will spend some birthday money and things like that to get some things off our wish list. So that was a great way to start my Friday. What a great way to start Bring your dog to work day. But really, like I said earlier, we are looking for foster parents. We are looking for those loving foster homes. We're looking for volunteers who want to come in and work with our play groups and really get involved and help our dogs and cats. But really, foster homes would be amazing.
Well, and as you said too, the programs that you mentioned that kids can still sign up for the summer.
Yep.
That kind of thing teaches empathy. Mm-hmm. It teaches responsibility. It teaches, I don't know, caring. I just think it's good. It's good for all of us.
Yeah,
absolutely. It totally is. And I think in a time when kids are spending more time on devices, really having kids spend that time with each other in the context of caring for something and being able to kind of make those connections between how I am treating this animal is how I should treat my peer. It's how I want to be treated is such a valuable, really valuable, valuable skill.
Maggie Tate-Techtman is the executive director of Haws, Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha, hawspets.org. We will put that in our show notes so you can find their website and get involved and take Kippy home, because otherwise I'm going to have to take Kippy home.
Or Susan the cat.
She's beautiful.
Maggie, thank you so very much for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thanks. You guys too.
Thanks.
News is coming up next and followed by the wonderful Todd Albaugh Show from noon until 2 p.m. and then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you for all the pet pictures you're sending in. You can do that any day of the week. We would always love to see those at 855-752-4844. 4-2. Thank you so very much, Calvin and Greg and our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all to you for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy this weekend and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a good weekend.